Welcome to episode one of Wow Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Wednesday,
the
11th
of 2013. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeffrey.
Yes, hello and welcome. I am Asheo, and this is Well Geekly, and sitting right here beside me, where I can pat him on the lap, is my good friend, Jeppy.
If you wouldn't mind getting your hand out of my lap, I'll be most grateful.
Sorry.
Dear me, talk about your inappropriate starts. Hello, Asheo.
How are you today?
I'm feeling just a little bit timeless.
It's like that, isn't it? I can't quite put my finger on why, but I'm sure that by the time we've finished recording, we'll have worked it out and everyone else will be all the wiser for it.
Yep. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. Having a great day and a great week, in fact.
Sweet. Can't say better than that.
Hey, Jeppy.
Yes, Asheo.
What's special about the number one, this being episode number one?
Special about the number one? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Go ahead, knock me socks off.
Oh, all right, I'll knock your socks off. Look out. It's not a prime number.
Do me a favour. Isn't it the prime number?
Well, no, it's actually not. It's because a prime number is a number actually that is only divisible by itself and one. It must be divisible by exactly two factors, itself and one, whereas only has one factor, just itself, just that lonely old one.
So what is the first prime number then?
First prime number? Well, yeah, that'd be like a really tough question for people to work out, wouldn't it?
It is for me.
Maybe,
two?
Maybe we should make that the question that we need to get people to tweet to us later for our Hearthstone beta key that we've got to give away. Dum, dum, dum.
I don't know. Might be a bit difficult. Yeah. I'm confused by this whole prime number thing, so I know you've completely thrown me. And my socks are way over the other side of the room because you did knock them off, which is amazing. I thought the prime... Anyway, don't worry about it. Let's move on. So the scary thing is it is in the show notes. So I could have just read it and just said, yeah, I do actually. I do actually know what that is. Being none the wiser what actually prime meant, but still.
Oh, you did too, because you got the next one. You told me what the next prime number was.
Seven?
Oh, man, you're no cryptographer, are you?
No. In fact, I had to Google divisible, factor, and now cryptographer. Well done.
Or Cryptonomicon. Google that instead and then go and read it. Awesome book. If you haven't read
Neil Stevens,
you need to do it. Yes, very good. Yeah. Love that book. So,
Geek.
This is Well Geekly, and this is episode one.
And I think we've already established the geekly part of things, with just the number of the show and the fact that you like Neil Stevenson's book, Cryptonomicon.
Well, that's true, but I mean, he's a great author, and he has written some really good books. And yeah, that probably makes you a geek if you like them as much as I like them. We need some bumpers for the show, people. We don't have any bumpers yet. We're going to get Jeppy to wing. I'll hang about. I'll wing the first bumper. News, blues, and views. There you go.
Well, that was quite good, actually. I think we'll just use that.
Will we? Okay.
News, views, and blues. Can you do it in like a 1920s TV radio personality?
The old style radio. No, I'm not sure I can do that voice off the cuff. I'd have to go and practice.
I've noticed that's quite popular among the podcasts.
It is rather, isn't it? Yeah. But I was going to get you to beatbox under it, so it probably doesn't really fit.
If the day you hear me beatbox is the day that I hang up my boots and call it, stick a fork in me, I'm done. I'm not much of a beatboxer.
So news this week. News. I'm not sure that there's any news this week in WoW, is there? Nothing's
spring. It's dry. Dry week.
Dry week, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, there is that one thing. Apparently there's a new patch. You heard about this new patch that was going to come out? Yeah.
One of those level ones that the pirates wear?
Well, no, unfortunately. They are a good look, though.
And a good seller on the auction house.
Oh, yeah, the old transmoggers.
Love it.
Patch 5.4, my friend.
Do me a favour.
I hope you've done nothing else but that all day.
It did take half the day to download it, actually.
Oh, what the background downloader? The new Battle.net client does a great job of stopping and starting that and keeping you all up to date.
The Battle.net client and my PC are not playing well together.
Oh, they're not friends?
No. No, and I don't know why, because as far as I can tell, it's a relatively small footprint, memory-wise or anything else.
Yeah.
But it does seem to be accounting, or at least either coincidentally, I'm getting a lot of crashes since I started using the Battle.net thing. So I stopped using it.
I wonder if your antivirus isn't happy with it.
Could be, actually. My antivirus is also playing up.
Ah, so. Well, you're probably full of viruses. What's really happened is that your machine's completely kishnackered.
My machine really does need to be taken out the back and shot through the head, because not only is it the noisiest thing, it's very quiet at the moment. It's just it's lulling me into a false sense of security.
Mm.
In the middle of some long conversation, which we can't go back and re-edit, it's going to start making a noise like a drowning helicopter.
Oh, awesome. Is it fans or is it a hard drive?
I think it is the graphics card fan.
Oh,
that is causing the racket.
That's not the end of the world.
No, I am looking at potentially, like I say, eBaying one of the children and getting another machine at some stage, because this one is way old in terms of a PC. I mean, like 5 years, 6 years old.
Right. But I mean, that's what's particularly great about WoW. I mean, you can have the latest and greatest and run everything on Ultra and it looks awesome, but you can also run it on a 6 year old machine and it's really quite playable.
Yeah, I have no problems with WoW. Mm. Anything else? I do get a bit miffed when new games come out. I think, I'll have a try of that. Or there's a Steam sale and there's a few things I wouldn't mind picking up at half price or whatever. But then think to myself, well, it's just not gonna play.
You wait 14 hours for it to download and then you start up the installer and it goes, nah.
Nah.
Not on this one, sunshine.
Stick to Minesweeper, dude.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Does Minesweeper even come on Windows anymore? I don't know if it does.
Although maybe not your new Windows, the one I'm using it did. Windows 3.1 it does.
Not 3.11?
No.
That was a great addition, 3.11. Whew. Blew 3.1 out of the water. Whew.
I bet, yeah.
It did. So that is basically the news this week. It's all about 5.4. We are going to go into that in a bit more detail in regards to how it affects us in our play style.
Yep.
No other blues or views you want to touch on?
No, because after a patch, after a 5.4 patch, everybody's a little bit rosy and everybody's happy and there's new stuff to do.
Not to be.
And they're distracted by all the bells and whistles. And so...
Shinies. And my God, are there shinies.
Lots of shinies, yeah. And so... You know, what we really want to do is in the news, blues, and views section is pull out the nasty, you know, highlight the moans and the QQs, because they're the funny things, let's be honest.
Oh, laugh a minute.
We're pretty much focused on 5.4 and the joys it's going to bring us.
Mm.
And unlike every other podcast, we thought we'd concentrate this show on it.
So, what have you been up to, just briefly, before we dive into our other sections? What have you been up to in game this week? Anything exciting?
Well, with all the kerfuffle last week, or the joyous kerfuffle of doing a zero episode, actually, on that day, I think it was, that we recorded the zero episode, Hearthstone finally dragged itself over to the European servers.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yay. And I didn't know that for a couple of days until I finally, you know, emerged from the joy of editing episode zero. So I climbed out. Ooh, Hearthstone. And I clicked on the button and Hearthstone started up and it said, you can't play this in your region. So what? That's ridiculous.
That's what it said last time.
Exactly what happened last time, yeah. I'm on the US Battle.net, so I figured I could have played it when the US Hearthstone beta kicked in. But no, European beta kicks in. And then it goes, no, because you're on a US Battle.net. okay. That kind of gives me a bit of a problem, because then that means I can never play it. As it turns out, what it wanted to do and what it then subsequently do is download the entire European version of Hearthstone over the top of the US version of Hearthstone, which, as far as I can tell, includes French And that's pretty much, it's the French that messed that up.
Sacre bleu.
Exactly. They've come along and they've said, listen, we're not going to play le afston unless you make it all foggy for us. And they've gone and stuck their language pack. And there's a Spanish one on there and a German one and Russian. Russian. Half study Russian. It's not great.
You say job done in Russian.
Jobski dunski. That's my grasp of the Russian language. Add a ski at the end of every word.
Degree of difficulty 9.9 skivich.
Skivich. Yeah, if you can add a ski or skivich, you're pretty much done Russian. That's it. I did finally get it started, and I had a little play around. And my first reaction was, what the hell has happened to Jaina Proudmoore? Old school Jaina was happy just to read a book. Remember, she's going, I just want to be left alone to read my books. And she was wearing discreet clothing. The Jaina that appears in Hearthstone.
Hubba, hubba.
Jeez, yeah. What's going on there? So I don't know who they're trying to attract, but...
Oh, she's reinventing herself.
Definitely, yeah. She's done a Madonna.
As long as she doesn't do a Miley Cyrus, we'll be right.
Actually, she's going to have to go through those different stages. First of all, she's going to do a Madonna. Then she's going to do a Britney. And then she's going to do a Miley Cyrus. That's the stages that a female icon goes through.
Well, I'll drop off her radar at that point then.
But yeah, I had a little play around. I quite enjoyed it. First of all, it just seemed... Obviously, it's a tutorial. I guess that's the tutorial stage of things. So it seemed...
The tutorial I found really good, nice introduction.
Yeah, and quite quickly, you could see the complexity of using the right card at the right time. I guess that's the whole point. and making good choices as far as what you want to buff and what you don't want to buff, who you want to attack and who you don't want to attack. And
yeah, how many minions you let them get out before you start destroying them.
Yeah. So I can certainly see, I didn't get very far. I think I must have got to the end of the tutorial part. So I didn't give it very fast. I didn't give it as much of a try as I will need to really establish if I enjoy it or not. So far, yeah.
It's kind of like a hunter. It's easy to pick up and play. I suspect it's hard to master.
Somebody who shall not be named, but anybody who knows me and knows the people that I know will probably be able to guess, said that it was Magic the Gathering for retards, which I thought was a little bit harsh, to say the least.
That's very harsh.
But having seen some Twitters and listened to some podcasts about Hearthstone and people mentioning Hearthstone, the complexity ramps up relatively quickly. So
yeah.
I think if you've only gone through that tutorial, you've probably got the wrong impression. So.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, if you've never played Magic the Gathering or any games like that, you'd be completely lost. So, I mean, it had to have the tutorial there.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I've not played TCG games, really. I've had a little dabble with the actual WoW TCG card game when we had a few boxes knocking around and I played it with my son. But not to any, you know, not to any skill level by any stretch.
Right.
Yeah, I would have been completely lost if it hadn't been for that initial bits and pieces. I didn't understand minions and stuff and all that malarkey. So.
I'm glad you finally got into it. They did do another wave of invites this week as well, which is great.
They did do. I'm not sure how many they're doing, but not many, you see.
Alrighty. You want to get into Masterclass?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to explain to people what Masterclass is?
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you'd say that. You came up with it. Jeppy has decided that I need to be the masterclass and I need to be the one coming in with all of the current top-end leaked news action and events.
You'll notice as the podcast develops and goes on that we split down the middle on our skill levels. There's Asheo, who's leaked, or at least leaked adjacent, and there's me, who's basically being looked down upon by scrubs.
I think you're being a bit hard on yourself.
Well, you told me to be hard on myself. It's obviously for the purposes of this podcast. I'm playing the part of a noob.
It's all good cop, bad cop. We just play role-playing. Exactly.
I mean, anybody who knows me knows that, you know, I'm running with some of the top raiding guilds and doing all the cutting-edge stuff. But yeah. For the purposes of this podcast, I've decided to play the part of knowledgeless noob. One of the great things about being dragged kicking and screaming from the warm bosom of Kor was that Asheo promised me that he would turn me into something just a little bit better than I am already.
I am going to be dragging you up so high that you're going to feel dizzy.
I feel dizzy already.
Ah, thought you might. Good. It's a good place to start. So let's dive in. What I wanted to actually touch on this week is all about the news. It's all about patch 5.4. And this week, it's the profession changes. Have you had a bit of a look at the changes they made to the professions?
Yep.
Not at all, did you? You've got a level 600 of every profession, of course, in Elder Holy, as myself.
Yep.
So you're going to need to know, for a start, how are we going to take advantage of these profession changes and make yourself some Uber gear. So, of course, what you're going to want to do is get your tailor, your leather worker, your blacksmith, those sorts of professions. They've all got some new daily cooldowns, and the pattern or the design or the I wish they'd give that as the same name for all professions, so I didn't have to remember what they all were.
It should be pattern for
you'd think something like that. So there, you'll learn those not from your trainer or just magically appearing in your new trade school window, but from a drop. So you're going to want to take yourself out to somewhere shiny and new, like the Timeless Isle, and start killing stuff. And hopefully, after not too long, you'll get a nice drop that will learn you some stuff. So, for example, I went out there on my leather worker today and killed a bunch of stuff. And my leather worker has learnt how to make hardened leather. And basically, it's a 24-hour cooldown that lets you create a new soul-bound material that you're going to use to make new Uber 5 something or other gear. And as you make that each day, I don't know if you remember how 5.2 worked, but as you make that each day, you've got a chance to learn a new pattern. They're all going to be PVP I476, I want to say. So you'll learn one of those each time you do this daily cooldown.
So this is the new PVP blue set, is it?
That's right, yep. And there'll also be some new epics, like 3 or 4 epic pieces that you can make in addition to all the PvP sets.
For yourself or for other people?
For other people.
Money, money, money.
Money, money, money. So auction house lovers, yes, this is probably a good way to make some money if you get in nice and early. So get into it. The sad thing is that the material that you're making, so my leather worker, you know, made the hardened leather today. And that's the material that you make is soulbound. So it's not like you're going to be able to you know, learn one of the new epics and then go and buy a bunch of these mats off the auction house and buy it and sell it. It's going to take, I think the pattern I learned today took 21 of these new hardened leathers. So it's going to be 3 weeks doing it every day before I can make one piece. So,
yeah, I know, I can understand why. So you don't flood the market with stuff.
Exactly. But... yeah, and I imagine that's going to be the same for tailors and blacksmiths. I didn't notice, though, the good thing about the tailor, the leather workers, as I said, you can actually use the magnificent hide that was the daily cooldown that you were doing back in 5.2, 5.3. You actually can use that as the material to make the new hardened leather, and they don't share cooldown, so you can do both of them in a day. So that was really nice.
And you just need one of those, do you?
I think it's two. I think it's 2 for 1. Yeah.
You can buy that, can't you? You can buy that on.
Yes. Yeah. They're not soulbound, so you can buy that and make them. So, but I've been stocking up on them because I did that every day and it stopped actually making anything because nothing was selling. So, I've got a whole bunch of that leather that I can do that cool down on now every day.
Okay. So you picked up the hardened leather pattern or whatever it is or the skill.
Yeah. That was a drop.
And then you're going to get the rest of your new PvP gear patterns from doing this on a daily basis.
That's it. And you got it.
That works out well. I quite like that. I like the incentive. I mean, obviously the incentive of doing one of these daily things is to get the piece of the raw material you want to use, but also to get the extra pattern.
That's right. Cool. The leather workers, tailors, blacksmiths, I'm happy with what they did there. That's all pretty good. So the tailors back in 5.2, 5.3, the cloth that they were making was soulbound. And pretty much all you could use that for the leg enchants. Is it leg enchants? Yeah, leg enchants and the bags. And my tailor never got her rep up enough to actually even buy the bag recipe. So all she'd been doing is making the leg enchants. So I don't think you can use that cloth for the daily cooldown, for the new daily cooldown on the tailors, which is a bit sad because now I've got all this cloth and basically all I can do with it is make leg enchants. But having said that, of course, with 5.4 dropping and people diving into a new raid and getting lots of new leg pieces, they're all probably going to want leg enchants.
And there are no new enchants, no new leg enchants?
No, no new leg enchants. There is some new stuff for enchanters, but not the enchanters don't do the leg enchants. That's tailors.
Confusingly enough,
yes. Engineering, though, I'm in two minds about how happy I am with the changes that I made to engineering. So again, engineering patterns is a drop. So you need to get your engineer out to the aisle and start killing stuff to learn the new designs to be your engineer. The bad thing is that, well, it depends on how you look at it. There's new pets that you can make as an engineer, but they're bind on pickup. Well, what's the problem with that, you'd say? Because pets are account wide. Well, yes, if the account that you're doing all your pet battles on is the same account that your engineer's on. And for me, it's not. My engineer's on my second account. So I'm back to the, I'm going to have to merge my BattleNet accounts together.
It's fair to say, you know, there's not many people that do two BattleNets.
I understand that. But, you know, I expect Blizzard to completely cater everything for me, just for my specific little situation.
No, me too. Yeah, I don't understand that. It's crazy. When they're having their meetings, they should say, well, how's this going to affect Shay and Jeppy?
Exactly.
I don't understand why they go ahead without thinking that.
They're not very thoughtful sometimes, really.
No, sometimes. No.
But I'm an altaholic, and I love little professions. So I know that what's most likely going to happen is that level engineer on my primary account. I think that's what's
going to happen. Don't tell me that you would rather level another engineer than just merge those two accounts.
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okie dokie. Even me, who has done something similar and stupider than that, goes, really?
You're getting a gist of how crazy I am?
I just about did, yeah.
Yeah. But all the engineering stuff is all about fun. So if you've got an engineer, all the power to you. Good luck on getting all that stuff made. I'm looking forward to doing that on mine. Now the QQ bit, the real QQ bit. Scribes. The profession inscription, which if you go by Bitter and Salty's 30 Weeks of WoW, is one of the most hated professions. So with scribes, there's basically two things that scribes can do. Well, three, I guess. There's the shoulder enchants, okay, which doesn't take. So scribes have a daily cooldown, and we make these scrolls of wisdom. So of the three things that scribes can do, one of them is shoulder enchants, which don't use the scrolls of wisdom. The other thing is making glyphs, which don't use the scrolls of wisdom. And the third thing is making dark moon fair cards, which do scroll of wisdom. Now, that would be great if the dark moon fair cards were worth a pence of shit anymore, which they're not.
Yeah, their day has passed, I think. Fair to say.
With the drop of 5.4, an eye level 476 trinket, no, not so hot anymore for your new level 90. So I have a whole bunch of cards which are completely worthless, and I have probably about 50 scrolls of wisdom which are completely worthless. So I looked at the patch notes, and they were doing some new and exciting stuff with scribes. And I thought, finally, I'm going to have something to do with all these scrolls of wisdom. So they've got all these new glyphs. Yeah, there's some pretty cool new glyphs, which is great for your characters and you want to get. But in terms of if you're wanting to get into money-making in the auction house, glyphs is very, very low on my this is somewhere where I want to spend effort. The glyph market is just nuts. It seriously is.
And it is a heck of a lot of effort.
It's massive effort, yeah.
There's no getting on there for half an hour, setting up your glyphs and then leaving.
No.
You have to be there every half hour, check to see you're not being undercut.
It's exactly. It requires serious effort. And the other thing, of course, is that the new glyphs are all drops. So far, in all the time I've spent out in the aisle today on my scribe, I have one of the many new glyphs. I mean, and that'll be great for, you know, for the first couple of weeks until people get all the glyphs, you know, that one glyph. If I'm the only one that's got it, I could probably sell it for crazy amounts of gold. So that sort of thing, you know, great. But that's not going to last very long, not long at all. The other thing that scribes get to make are new trinkets. So similarly to leather workers, tailors and blacksmiths, the trinkets that you're making are PvP trinkets. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, these will take the scrolls of wisdom. Oh, I'll get to use them for some of this new stuff that's in 5.4. Nope. These trinkets require ghost iron. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Ghost iron. It's like the most in-demand material that has nothing to do with inscription at all, and I need that to make these new trinkets. And I could understand maybe it took one ghost iron and some of your scrolls of wisdom, but no, nothing like that. So, yeah, I don't know where they're heading with inscription, but scribes really need some love. It's not a great profession. I think I'd rather fish at the moment.
It'd be cool if you fish up glyphs.
Yeah, that'd be good. As a scribe.
No, everybody. I think they get rid of the inscription profession.
Oh, just incorporate
it. Make it a secondary.
Okay. Yeah.
Anybody can fish one up.
That'd certainly bring a new angle to fishing for sure.
Yeah. You definitely need more incentive to fish.
Yeah. So please, Blizzard, 5.5, bit of scribe love, please. Please. Thanks.
I think over in Blizzard, they sat there thinking, why did we do a scribe?
It does feel like that sometimes.
I've got no idea how to progress it. I don't understand. There's loads of these things that come along that are special, you know, scrolls of wisdom and all sorts of other malarkey has come along in the past. Just look at all the different, when you create an ink, it normally throws off occasionally something special. And you stick that in your bank and occasionally it's used for something. And then you pick up thousands of these things, especially if you're glyph making to sell.
In bulk.
You know, you're doing it as part of your auctioneering. It takes a week or 2 weeks and they're just useless. Yeah. Banks full of complete and utter crap.
Exactly.
You're just like, you know, turn it into something or do an exchange somewhere. Have some guy saying, you know, he's desperate for these particular things and he'll give you valor or he'll give you justice points or he'll give you just a pat on the back and a couple of silver. But don't.
Some coins from the timeless life.
Don't just completely get rid of them and not use them for anything else. Scrolls of Wisdom, if somebody came along and said, okay, there's a Scrolls of Wisdom vendor and he's taking those in order to upgrade your shoulders or upgrade your gear.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, overall, I've got to say I'm pretty happy with what they've done. Inscriptions by vastly the exception. The other interesting thing, and lastly, in the profession section here, you see what they did to enchanting?
No.
So the... high-level enchants now scale down, which means you can put enchants on your heirlooms. Quite an interesting change.
I don't like that.
Don't you?
No, because there was a whole tranche of enchants that could only go on heirlooms. Or not only go on heirlooms, but were able to go on heirlooms. And it was quite a small group of them. And they obviously sold a heck of a lot of money for.
Right, a niche of enchants. So I was wondering what impact that's going to have on the economy and on, you know, enchanted ability to make gold. The lower level enchants, most are worthless. As you say, there's those niche enchants. Yeah, but it's going to take mats that people aren't grinding anymore that's hard to get. Whereas the high level enchants that scale down, the mats are more expensive. And it's more expensive to do that enchant, but the materials are much more readily available, and so it's easier to do that enchant. So I'm not into enchanting. Isn't something that I'm currently. I mean, it's all ebb and flow. But enchanting isn't something I'm currently using to make gold on the auction house. So I'm not really on top of where things are at there and how that's going to impact the enchanting economy.
Well, it seems to me It's probably a move in the right direction. When you've got a level 90, the last thing you want to do in order to get your profession up is to go out to all the lower level areas and collect materials that are no longer really relevant, that are relevant in past expansions.
Yeah.
And they've done that with the mining and herbing.
Yep.
But I can certainly see them doing it with level working as well, that a skinner will be able to go out and get stuff skinned straight away.
I did actually look for that. And I didn't see that in the patch notes and didn't get a chance to test it. I was expecting them to extend that mining and herbing in Pandaria to things like skinning and other professions.
Yeah.
I mean, that made sense and didn't seem to have too much of an impact on the economy at all. And it was
like they did with cooking as well.
Right, yeah.
So you don't have to
take your level 90 back to the barons to start skinning from level 1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can see that to a certain degree of enchanting. I mean, obviously you need to be at a certain level to be able to do the high level enchants, and there are certain gates that you have to jump through in order to even get the pattern through the high level enchants. Normally you have to buy them with high level raw materials, which is a fair way to be able to then focus on farming for that material out in the one area instead of having to go back and forth to all the different areas in order to cover your entire market. It's a good idea. The only problem with that, of course, is that the cost of doing, as you said yourself, the cost of doing these high level enchants, particularly if you're not farming and you're getting them off the auction house, the price of those raw materials are quite high.
Right.
And therefore, the cost of the enchant is necessarily going to have to be high in order to cover your costs and hopefully make a wee bit of money. So somebody's going to have to really think hard about whether they want to stick that one-use only enchant on a piece of gear they're unlikely to keep for very long. So,
well, I think that's where the heirlooms come in, right? Because you...
Yeah.
They scale up and down. You put it on once and you can send it around, and yeah, that's pretty good use of your money.
Yeah, but also the big market for those lower level enchants that gave a bit of kick was your twink, and they like to have as good an enchant as they possibly
can. Is twinking still a thing? You don't really hear about it much anymore, do you?
I think that it is a thing. I don't think it's anywhere near as big a thing as it used to be.
Mm.
I think twinking still goes on. I think there's still the people that like to be Uber in their particular bracket. They now bracket people who have stopped their XP, don't they?
Well, they bracket you on your... They rank you somehow. So I think all the twinks get bundled in together. So it took away the pleasure that the twinks had to go in and one-shot all the noobs all the time. I think that's where the peak of twinking dropped away.
I think the bracket kicks in when you freeze your XP.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the reason twinking almost died a death is because you started to earn XP in battlegrounds. And that, of course, was anathema to a twink. Ding! Oh, bugger!
Bottom of the chain again.
So then the ability to freeze the XP came in. And then they said, well, if you're freezing your XP, you ain't fighting all these noobs. You're going to have to go fight yourselves. But I still think there's an element of twinking goes on and the twinks just fight the twinks and so on and so forth. But,
right.
Yeah, but you're quite right. It's certainly not the be-all and end-all it used to be for the old twink PvP.
So that's the profession changes in 5.4. If there's anything else that people feel are big, important changes to professions in 5.4 that I've missed or that was undocumented, let us know. Love to hear about it and how you're using the changes in 5.4 to make gold or gear yourself up. What are you actually doing with it all? Love to hear.
Hopefully, and I think this is probably kind of overdue, when they, whatever 6 turns out to be, they're going to have to do some overhauling on the professions generally, I think. I mean, I know they're moving in that direction, like we just said, with the mining and herbalism and so on and so forth, but this grind... It becomes when you want to create an alt, create a new main or whatever, and you need to then get your professions up, particularly the secondary professions. There's quite a good discussion on the Azeroth Roundtable over the weekend about the secondaries, and if you learned fishing, for instance, on one, why all your characters just didn't have that level of fishing, because you can't fish twice. You can't have two characters logged in on your same account fishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can take advantage of it. And if they made it like they do with pet battles, that you can't do the same, even if you have several accounts attached to your battle net, they could make that battle net wide. I don't see why not. They could make first aid battle net wide.
Yeah, first aid, they really need to do something with. I mean, I'd love to see the stats on how many people even bother to level first aid anymore.
Mm.
I bet it's a very small percent.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when you first created the character, one of the first things you did is run along to the train and learn your first aid, learn your cooking, you know, learn your fishing, and then you slowly level it up. You got different stuff.
Did that quest about level 40 where you had to go and heal the dudes
and
target the one that injured the most?
It seemed a necessity, didn't it? It seemed a necessity to do.
It did.
Whereas I can't remember the last time I created the character and even thought about first aid. It's something I needed to.
Well, they made a crack at it in 5.0 because there was dailies that required you to heal mobs with a bandage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So I've made it easier to grind out those dailies. You didn't have to do it. You could skip that one. Skip the fishing one.
It made you do all the secondaries, didn't it? If you wanted to get those extra points.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see them getting rid of it because there are people that I know still use bandages, but it doesn't need done on every single character.
In order for it to be used on a majority of by a majority of players, which it should be, they need to do something to it to enhance it, make it more useful for something else.
Yeah, I wonder what they could do there.
Well, That's what we're paying the big bucks for.
Yeah, that's right. I know part of my $15 a month is going towards the fishing and managing departments, and should be looking at that quite intensely, hopefully.
Mm. And now it's time for Noob Delete. How's that bump?
It's great.
Oh, yeah, awesome. People are going to go, oh my God, I'm going to have to do them a bumper. We'll send them in a bumper.
Yeah, it's 10, that's what we're after, really.
Yeah, that's the idea. You know, we just sound really bad so that people feel sorry for us and do an awesome bumper. So this is the section where we're going to discuss Jeppy's growth, becoming an elite.
Not a growth? How dare you? Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry.
This is the path that you'll be taking, my friend. From the depths of the trogs to the heights of the raids. And you've got to start somewhere. And today, my God, today is an awesome day to be starting at that. 5.4 and the new Timeless Isle is, well, for a start, it is fantastic for Altaholics. It seriously is. It's absolutely brilliant. And I'm just hoping to God that they don't nerf it, because I'm having so much fun out there.
Well, we faced a bit of a problem, because anyway, you tell us about the Timeless Isle, and then I'll moan on about the fact they're probably going to nerf it in the next few hours.
Probably. So the Timeless Isle is off the east coast of Jade Huzmajubi Forest. You'll get your quest to get teleported out there as soon as you head to your home city shrine. Zoom on out there, and there's a couple of quests. But it's pretty much an explore and discover type area, which I really love about it. There were some complaints that I saw about, oh, there's no structure, I don't know where to go, I don't know how to find anything. I don't want that. I'm loving this. I'm loving the openness and the discovery aspect of it, and just wandering around and seeing what's there. It's really great. So, and I haven't actually read a lot about what you can do out in the Timeless Isle, and specifically for that reason, I wanted to experience it afresh and not know what I'm heading into. So I'm not going to spoil a whole bunch of it for people either, because maybe that's what other people want to do. But what I will say is that quite literally, the epics are laying on the ground waiting for you to pick up and gear your toons. And this is the best bit, gear your alts. Because what you're looting out of the chests that are lying around all over the place are items that are either cloth, leather, mail, or plate. And it's not until you actually activate them that they become an item that is applicable to your current spec. So, for example, I was out there on my warlock, and I got a pair of cloth gloves, and all these items are I-496, and my gloves on my warlock are already 522. So they're not an upgrade for my warlock. But all these drops are awesomely bind to Battle.net account.
Yay.
Which means I can mail that to my mage or my priest, who's a fresh 90 and is in completely terrible gear. And when they receive it and click on it, it becomes an item that is applicable for their spec. So I'll be able to easily gear up my disciplined priest having never stepped foot on the Timeless Isle. I think that is brilliant. I love that aspect.
Alt heaven.
Alt heaven. It's seriously is.
At the moment. As we record this, it's alt heaven. When you listen to this, it'll probably be alt hell. Because you'll go, oh, hell, I should have gone earlier. There is a rolling restart that's about to, well, it's kicking in about
a few
2 hours.
Yeah.
The suspicion is, because it just seems ridiculous that every turn you make there is a mossy chest, they are all over the place. And there's always going to be these coins in there, which looks to me like it's going to be able to purchase even more gear.
Mm.
And there is likely every now and then to be, as a share said, a piece of gear which...
Every now and again, I looted like about 20 of them, and it was about my 20th, where I didn't get an epic piece of gear out of it. And I went, oh, shit, fit suck of the salt bottle. What the hell?
I quit.
I quit.
Yeah, there's a heck of a lot of gear in these things. I mean, I've already picked up at least four pieces out of an 8-piece set for my hunter, plus a few cloth pieces, plus copious amounts of these coins.
You know, they're a currency that's going to let you buy even more stuff.
Yep. So the suspicion is that Blizzard will go, "Wait, somebody's gone and cranked that up a little bit." People are
Whoopsie.
just going, people have just, they've leveled up. You know, they've gone to the Isle at 450 and they've left at 496 and they're not coming back. So there's a chance that what we're talking about now, as far as things just laying around the ground, may not necessarily be the case when you listen, but that'll teach you. That'll teach you not to get on straight.
And I mean, these items aren't just in the chests. There's world bosses there that you can do, that drop them as well. I got gear off them both times that I killed them. I don't know how many. I didn't count them. There's like at least a dozen new rare mobs that spawn pretty frequently out there, and they all drop epics as well. It's seriously just gear all over the place. And about the only thing I'm kicking myself about, I mean, that doesn't bother me so much because I had fun doing it. I spent a heck of a lot of time gearing up all my alts in 5.3 on the weekly Northern Baron stuff. And within 2 hours of 5.4, all completely useless.
Yeah, and I knew that was going to happen. That's why I didn't do the Baron stuff. I said to myself, that Timeless Isle's going to come out, and so all this effort will be wasted.
Yeah, look at you, Mr. Smarty Pants.
You can see what a smart move this is. Again, Blizzard with the smart moves. There is, you know, 5.4 is the sort of patch that people want to get involved in. It's ending an epic storyline, or at least, you know, it's getting close to the end of an epic storyline. People are engaged in the whole thing. You know, there's a Gary's been messing about, he needs slapping. So people want to go and get involved. Now, if you're sat on a level 90 with your 420 gear, you might be thinking to yourself, well, you know, there's little chance of me playing part in this fantastic patch, and you get a bit disheartened by the whole thing and you quit. But if you can go over to the Timeless Isle, spend a bit of time scooting around, by the way, not flying, another island where you can't fly,
Oh,
a
yeah,
bit annoying.
of course.
Scooting around on the ground and picking up 496 level gear, you pretty much put yourself back in contention,
Very
you
quickly.
know, quickly, you know, up there with people that play this patch through to the end.
Yeah. And I think the other thing about it is a lot of people at this point in an expansion have had the time to level up an alt, and they've maxed out another toon. Well, you know, in the case of some of us, 8 or 9 toons. That they now want to play, and it's a damn daunting task to hit level 90, and then and you'll be somewhere like, you know, eye level 430 to level up and have to grind through the old raids to get gear that no one's going to run anymore. Who's going to run Throne of Thunder or Mogoshan Vaults anymore when all of your alts are now I 496? I mean,
Yeah.
no one really.
And like you said, the joy of this is that most of us have characters which we're happy to go out, you know, and they stand a good chance, even though they may not necessarily be geared. They stand a good chance to survive toe to toe with a level 90 elite. And you also will have alts which are healers or cloffies or softies or whatever who can't. There's no chance. You know, they're going to go out to the Timeless Isle and they're going to see the graveyard most of the time. So the joy of this is, of course, you take your uber character out there, he does all the killing. Or she does all the killing and does all the collecting of this gear, which is Battle.net account bound. And Bob's your uncle. Now you've got people gearing up this gear. Once you send it off to your healer, the piece of gear that it produces for that character, will be relevant to their spec.
That's right.
So
Brilliant idea.
you don't have to go through this rigmarole of going, "Oh my God, great, I've got another hunter chest piece, or I've got another, you know, warlock cloth piece." It will mould to your character.
As I said, their cloth, leather, mail or plate. I'm sure there's people out there queuing go, "Oh, why does it have to be one of those? Couldn't it just be anything? I could mail it to any old." And it's like, let's not go overboard, hey?
There has to be some distinction. I mean, basically, why can't it just be a piece that I say, okay, I'd like this to be a helm?
That's right.
Just be a stone rock that says armor.
The other thing to point out about the chest, you're probably all sitting there thinking, "Oh my God!" But the ninjaing of the chests and trying to get to them first. No, the chests are basically there, and each of your toons can loot the chests, and you'll be in a party and you'll loot it and it'll despawn for a second and then it's back again and the next person loot.
Yeah, it kind of fades a little bit, doesn't it? Because the first time I came out here, I was like, "Ah, oh, dude, somebody running towards the chest." And I'm thinking, "Oh, great, I've got to lose that now." And back again. There it is, still exactly. There.
So I guess it's from that technology point of view. It's very similar to the secrets of Pandaria that they've hidden around that you can loot once per character. So this is very much like that. But there's a lot of chests out there. There really are.
You need to keep your eyes open because they are kind of camouflaged. They are. Yep. They're green in the green. You'll see them. They do sparkle a wee bit.
And there's lots of other stuff to do out there as well. There's not just Lootville. There's quests that you can pick up and collecting the timeless coins. You'll be getting a lot of those that you can spend as well. And there's discovery quests. Like I picked up an item earlier today that was just lying on the beach, and it's started a quest that was Rollo's Riddle, I think it was. And it's basically a quest chain that you can go through, and it's back to the good old days of not really knowing where to go and having to read the quests and trying to figure it out. I remember the first time. Did you ever do that quest chain? Where did it drop? I think the item dropped in one of the ships off the coast of Tanaris. Stranglethorn Vale, rather. And it was something or other of riddle. And you were going all over the world getting the next step in this riddle. And it ended up under the waterfall in the hinterlands. And it was like a 10-slot bag or something. And you're like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
There's that one. There was also the map, where the treasure map. Remember you had to go. It was a pretty easy one, that one. That was actually on the beach at Westfall.
Right.
But I like those ones that sort of send you over different places. There were a few of those in the early days.
There were. And then along came Quest Hubber and all those other ones that basically just put a big X on the map. Just go here. And it's like that. It kind of took away the fun of exploration. And that's what I'm looking forward to in the Timeless Isle, to not go and look this stuff up on Wowhead and just wander around and enjoy myself.
Yeah. And you do see it, actually, when you're over here, you can see everybody just riding around, going, suddenly turning left, turning right, looking for different places to look at. Obviously, they're looking for the chests and stuff, but they're also exploring the island.
Yeah.
And the first couple of quests that you get, one of them is exploration, go to different places and then come back and like some 20 gold and some coins. And the other one, which I didn't pick up initially, actually, that one I didn't pick up initially either, but one where you get rewarded for collecting a certain number of coins. So it's worth picking up those two initial quests anyway.
For sure. And follow those through because you'll get a lot of coin rewards for those. And there's some pretty cool stuff you can buy with all that. How much did you say the reins were?
100,000.
A lazy 100,000 coins.
But there are so many ways to get these coins. I mean, you're probably talking a month or so, but still.
Yeah. Even the daily ask you a lore question. Mm. What was the name of this dude's horse? I'll take a punt at Toto. No?
Toto the horse.
So that's all pretty cool. So I'm really enjoying that. So that's going to make you get your level 90 up and geared and ready to have some fun in your journey from noobness to litness. But the other thing that you're going to need to do is actually get a tune up to a point where you can play it and gear it up. And I've been doing that on a monk, and the ease with which you tear through dungeons at the lower levels is just crazy. It really is. And it's so much fun to rip through them that easily and to level up really fastly, especially if you've got heirlooms. And then you get to 70 to even 70 to 80 is really easy. And then 80 to 85, you've got to start to actually, if you're a healer, conserve a bit of mana and actually focus on the fight and make sure the tanks, especially if you've got a squishy tank, that he's not getting one shot or anything. But then when you hit 85, it's this current level expansion, and it's still, unless you've got really decent gear, it is still quite a challenge. And so that's where, my friend, I would like us to start at level 85. Mm-hmm. Take a pair of tunes and level them to 90. Because the thing about level 90 and diving into scenarios and heroic scenarios and raiding, at that point it's kind of expected that you know how to play your class pretty well. So doing that exercise of getting from 85 to 90, I think, will be a good foundation for bringing you up and learning the little intricacies of the class.
This is where I learned the fundamentals.
The fundamentals, that's right.
But that sounds good. Because one thing that I'm painfully aware of is my lack of experience in dungeons. I mean, basically, I've done one or two. I did Deadmind.
By running yourself through with your level 90 hunter?
No, I did it properly. I did it properly at level.
Did it at level?
Yeah. 15, level 15. Yeah, I've done a few dungeons at level, but I hated it because I just didn't feel like I knew what I was doing 100%. Now, as you said quite correctly, in those early dungeons, it doesn't really matter.
No.
You know, just sort of aim your gun at the stuff and hopefully it dies and you don't.
Everyone else will be finished before you figure out what they're hitting.
But given my inexperience or my lack of feeling part of it all at that low level, then obviously my desire to go into those at a higher level was severely dented. I didn't want to do it.
I understand that. Yeah. Which is the other reason I suggest that we don't start at 90.
Yeah, because apart from everything else, I'd get yelled at, wouldn't I?
There is a good chance, yes.
Okay.
Yes, of course, you know, we get... A dungeon group of just of guildies that are extremely, and I emphasize extremely, tolerant.
They have to be extremely tolerant.
Yes.
So cool. That sounds good. I'm glad that you're taking me under your wing.
Mm.
Hopefully making me leap.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to throw it out to our massively loyal listenership? Have a decision for you on what class you're going to play?
Yes, we are. Although I have to say it's going to be a wee bit limited because as much as I'm looking forward to gaining some experience in dungeons, I do not intend to gain that experience as either a tank or a healer.
Oh, no.
Because I know my limitations and any sort of level of responsibility other than killing stuff, it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. No, I want you to enjoy yourself.
Exactly.
This isn't supposed to be torture, so I had no intention of making you heal or tank. We're looking for a DPS class.
I'm looking for DPS, and just to even add further restrictions to the choices that our dear listener has, I'm also not looking to melee. I'm looking to stand back, chucking fireballs or shadow bolts or bullets at the target.
Yeah, melee, not my cup of tea, Governor.
No. So... basically, we're down to hunter, warlock, or...
mage, monk.
Druid.
Monk. A druid? Monk. Yeah, you can be a balanced druid.
Monk is way melee.
Yeah.
Monk. Just trying to get me in trouble.
Trying to sneak that in there. Shaman? You can be a ranged shaman?
No, I think...
And then your off-spec can be heals. I'm kidding. You want to be a pure DPS class, don't you? Yeah. So there's no risk whatsoever that anybody's going to be, come on, alt spec, jump across.
Yeah, no, I don't want any of that.
No.
I don't want any of that.
All right.
I don't want even the slightest hint that I might ever heal or tank.
Then we're down to mage, hunter, warlock.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. And fortunately, I have 85s of all of those, so it shouldn't be too much of a stretch in order to meet the requirements.
All righty. So what do we want people to do? Just tweet us?
All they have to do is tweet us the words, Jeffy should be a, and then fill in the gap, mage, warlock, or hunter. And we'll add them up and do some maths and work out exactly when I start my warlock.
Figure out how many bits of cloth versus mail... timeless epic bits you've got that you'll be able to put on once you hit 90?
Yes. Where are we going to do this, by the way?
We are going to do this, you ready for it?
Mm.
On the Alliance side.
Because
I've done all of the dungeons and raiding and everything on the Horde side.
Yes.
I'd like to experience just a taste. I'm not going to be going full-time stupid Alliance or anything. Crazy decisions like that, but I think I'm at that point in the expansion where I want to see what it's like on the other side.
And actually, that's pretty good for me too, because although I did manage to get my double agent by leveling a Alliance hunter, I did it via pet battles.
Right.
So I didn't really do much exploring of the Pandera side from the Alliance end of things.
Yeah.
So I look forward to experiencing that.
I leveled a toon through Pandaria, but I haven't done any of the dungeons or raids or anything else from the storyline of the Alliance side. So
It'll be interesting as well, because obviously with the huge events happening in 5.4, it'll be interesting to see how we're drawn towards what's happening over in Ogrimmar as an Alliance player.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, because I've got no idea what the Alliance storyline is for the Siege of Ogrimmar.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they did in 5.3. What did the Alliance have to do in 5.3? I have no idea. Was it the same? I don't know.
Well, according to the QQ forums, nothing. Basically, they're saying this is a Horde patch. Somebody over in Blizzard forgot that there was another faction. And as far as I can tell, that seems to be the essence of the QQing. So.
Right.
And now they're now with hints of what Expansion 6 will be, they're like, well, that's going to be another Horde patch. I keep trying to remind them that the Lich King was a human paladin.
Yeah, well,
they've had their patch.
Yeah, that's right. They've had theirs. Give the Horde a crack for a few years.
Deathwing was Alliance as well.
Mm. So I have a tip slash bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
If you you knew this or not. I didn't. I was misled. But if you've upgraded your heirlooms and you've bought some of the new heirlooms, you'll be all decked out in a bunch of heirlooms that say on them level 1 to level 85. And you quite rightly think that, oh, well, as I'm level 85, I'm doing dungeons, these bonuses on the heirlooms would be still giving me extra XP. It
doesn't say 84.99.
No, it doesn't say 84.99. It says 85. And sadly, no. Once you hit 85, you're not getting the XP bonus from your heirlooms at all.
And I'm guessing there's no point keeping them at that stage. Then.
No. So if you've got a better bit of gear, stick it on, because your heirloom's not giving you that XP bonus anymore. Bit sad, but oh well. There was that big, massive nerf to leveling 85 to 90, so it's not that much of a pain. They send those heirlooms off now to get them enchanted with your top-level enchant and send them off to your level 1 rogue. Away you go.
What happens if you enchant an heirloom, does it not soul bind it?
No.
No. So you can send it with the enchant to an alt?
That's right.
Or do you lose the enchant?
Well, I haven't actually tested it. I mean, that's the whole point of this 5.4 change to enchanting to scale down enchants. You can put an enchant on an heirloom and send it off and use it on a lower level turn. I'd be very disappointed if you mailed it off and the enchant disappeared.
Me too.
Somebody test that and let us know.
You test it, go on.
All right.
I just picked up a Azure Crane Chick.
Oh, grats.
Little blue pet.
Very nice. Just off a mob?
Yeah, off a Azure Crane. I got its chick. I'm a bit worried that I killed the mother and then stole the baby. You know, it's not exactly going to do my karma much good, but still. Yeah.
Oh, well, level it up. Be a good dad.
It's soulbound. I wonder if it becomes, I guess it never becomes cageable.
I don't know.
It'd be a shame. It'd be nice if it was cageable, because I doubt there's many of those on the auction house.
Not at this point, no, there wouldn't be. You can level it up and sell it.
I'm always faced with that dilemma. As much as my own characters and my own pet battle team would like to have that Azure chick part of the battle team, I would also wouldn't mind the gold. So
gold is always nice. So before we leave the this bit of noob to elite and discussing dungeons, I have an etiquette question for you and perhaps for the listeners if they want to chime in. So as you're leveling through dungeons, the crossover in the expansion level, say from 80 to 85, as you go into that new series of dungeons, or from 85 to 90, the XP that you get all of a sudden because you just dinged 85, plump, disappears, goes through the floor, and your XP bar is no longer moving at all. So say, for example, you're level 84 and you've just queued up for a dungeon and you get Grimbatol. And you're in there and you're clearing the trash on the way to the first boss and ding, you're level 85. And you're like, yeah, I'm level 85. And then you're fighting your way to the boss and your XP bar is not moving at all, not a millimeter. And the XP that you're getting is just a piddly amount.
10% of what it was.
Oh, it's atrocious. So what's the etiquette there? Do you stick around and finish the dungeon? Or do you go, see you guys, I'm out of here, and drop group? What would you do?
I suppose etiquette-wise, you'd stick with the dungeon, because, well, at least good etiquette-wise, you'd stick with the dungeon. Bad etiquette-wise, you'd be as quick to your goodbye button as possible. Mm. But, I mean, what are the benefits apart from XP? I guess if there's other benefits, like the fact that you've not done the dungeon before.
You get the achievement for doing the dungeon.
Yeah, there might be some goodies at the boss.
Yeah, you might still get an upgrade. Although, for example, when you hit 85, you're going to go and find yourself one of those wonderful traveling vendors and just buy a whole bunch of 272 gear or whatever it was.
It was like 396. I don't know. I think people have different reasons to be in a dungeon. XP not always being the main one.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I was in there for XP, and I went.
You quit then, did you?
No, I was a healer, and I know that the LFGs were spending a long time waiting for healers, so I was nice and finished the dungeon. But geez, I was like, oh come on, hurry up! I'm not getting any XP. I want to be out of here. So here's the last bit of noob to elite. When you're going to be elite, you need to be taking a good hard look at your gear and how that's configured. And you don't want to be doing that manually. You want to be doing that using some awesome tools that are out there. And everybody knows, probably even you know, about AskMrRobot.com, right?
Yep.
Oh, phew. I mean, there was a big pause, and I'm like, oh, God.
No, so I was Googling it.
Oh, okay.
No, I did know. I've heard of Mr. Robot and his wonderful ways.
And his wonderful people. That's awesome stuff. So something that I'd been struggling with since I've been using that service, and it's, you know, it's a free or a premium option as well. When you're dual specking as a healer, and so you're not going to have to worry about this too much, I must admit, when you're dual specking between, well, even if you're dual specking between two different specs of even a warlock, the what's the word I'm looking for? The weights for your gear is going to be different between your specs.
Yeah. Your stats. Yeah.
Your stats. So when you're switching between healing and damage, you know, I'm primarily healing. So I've got good gear for all of my healing, but I'm still trying to build up an off spec for my damage gear. And so my sets overlap. So I've got a set that's my healing set, and my DPS spec is some DPS specific gear, but it's also using some of my healing gear because it's just so much better than what I've got on my healing spec. But I can't wear that gear and then say, hey, Mr. Robot, what should I do in reforging and everything for my DPS spec? Because he's going to turn around and tell me to reforge and regem everything completely and destroy my healing spec. I can do that constantly as I'm switching back and forth. So I've never been able to actually use Ask Mr. Robot for my DPS spec because I know he's going to tell me to do stuff I don't want to do. But the fine folks at Ask Mr. Robot have come along with an absolutely brilliant option. So with 5.4, they're rolling out a best in bags option. So they've actually got an in-game mod now that you can download and install as well. And it will look at all the gear that's in your bags, and you can say, this is my healing spec. I want to lock these bits of gear. I don't want you to tell me to reforge them, but I want you to now tell me what is my best option for my off-spec, and I'm sharing some of this healing gear, but I don't want you to tell me to change it, and it tells you the best thing to do. That is absolutely brilliant. So huge props to those guys for doing that. I'm looking forward to doing that as soon as I get serious on my druid and start writing again in 5.4.
I just went on to ask Mr. Robot and had it do the analysis thing. And it came up and said, have you thought of trying Rift? I mean, that's not nice, is it? What's all that about? Have you considered giving Eve a try? Wow, harsh. Don't think I'll ask him again.
Yeah, it's a super easy tool to use, really. So it's something that you should be doing as soon as you hit 90 and start gearing up.
Have you got the premium version?
I don't. But I believe the best in bags option is the premium option, so I'll be getting that. It's like $1 a month, so it's stupid cheap. Yeah. This, not an ad for Ask Mr. Robot, by the way. Affiliated and sponsored, not at all. Just, I like it, so I'm talking about it. There we go.
You should certainly share the best And it seems like Mr. Robot is the best at doing that particular job.
Indeed. A lot better than me doing it manually, that's for sure.
Well, I think part of my noob to elite journey is going to have to be about gear and choices, because, oh my God, that looks so pretty. It's just not going to cut it.
Doesn't cut it that much. Yeah.
No. I'm certainly looking forward to learning the new stuff.
You can still look pretty, because that's where, you know, transmog helps those people that like to look pretty but still want to be in good gear.
I just killed a ghostly panda and I got an epoch stone. Yay!
Congrats.
I've no idea what the epoch stone is, but I seem to need it and I've got it now, so there you go.
So now you can go and complete that quest and you'll go, thanks very much, that's awesome. Now can you go and get 50 of them for me?
Bet you thought that was easy.
Yeah.
God, I'll tell you what I do need. What you do need, if you're going to the Timeless Isle and you have a choice of characters to take a Skinner.
Oh,
because it's wall-to-wall corpses over here.
Yeah, that was the second toon I took out there. So my first toon was my main, and then I went, oh, my God. And ran and brought my Skinner out, yeah. And you get coins when you skin.
Yeah, and mine. Yeah. You get coins when you skin, when you mine, when you kill stuff. Basically, you get coins thrown at you as you go through the town.
You're walking along and it's like, oh, geez, my pockets feel heavy all of a sudden. And you like reach in your pocket and your pocket's full of coins. Like, oh, my God.
And another thing as well, before you go out to the Timeless Isle, empty your bags.
Buy the biggest bags there are. Buy all the bags.
I just got 1,000 Timeless coins for handing in that Epoch Stone.
Yeah, very nice.
And 200 Valor Points.
Oh, look out. You'll be upgrading your gear with Valor Points before you know it.
Whatever they are.
We'll put that on next week's show notes.
Did you do the Epoch Stone quest?
I did do it, yeah.
Oh, so you knew that I was going to get asked for 50. I thought that was a bloody good guess. So he wants 50 now. Stuffed your chance. You ain't getting 50 out of me. I'm just going to bring another character over and get another...
Do the one on all the characters.
That's right.
That's right. You give me that 200 valor on all my turns, and I'll be on my way.
Yeah, that should be BattleNet bound as well. Everything should be BattleNet bound.
Do you want to do a bumper? You can do the bumper into the forums.
Okay, here we go. Into the forums.
Oh, the forums is a scary place.
It is a scary place.
Please tell me why we're in here.
Well, we're just on the outside of the forums. We haven't gone too deep into them. And the reason is because we did order a biohazard suit that was both flame retardant and indeed retardant,
mm-hmm.
which is very useful in the forums.
Hasn't arrived yet.
Hasn't arrived, no. I know. The people over on the eBay site that I bought it from told me it would be here today.
Right.
And that we'd be able to dive straight into the middle of the nastier parts of the forums. But sadly, we're left out here on the outskirts.
Not stepping in. Just the shadow that's being cast over us. I'm not getting any closer until the biohazard suit arrives.
Definitely. It's just not worth it, a shadow. And we want to do the best for the listener. We want to go in there and explore parts that they obviously shouldn't explore. But safety first. You know, we really are going to have the full gubbins before we step further in.
Do I get to wear a gas mask? As well as the biohazard suit?
Well, you have to wear a gas mask. You have to wear a full helmet because of the troll sweat.
Right.
Which is pretty nasty as you get deeper in.
Mm-hmm.
The troll sweat, the troll effluence. You know, it certainly... And obviously we're going to have a few suits because it does tend to corrode even quite quickly, one of these top-range biohazard suits. So.
That's not what I want to hear.
I'm sorry. You know, we're taking a bullet, a literal bullet, for the dear listener.
All right.
If we're going to do that, we're going to have to go the whole hog, get right into the depths of it, get into the I quitters and the I'm firsts and all that stuff. So.
Oh, first. I love the first people. They're just the win. First.
But over here on the edges, it doesn't seem too bad, does it?
It's a bit shiny around the edges. Not too bad. So I don't think we're going to go any deeper this week than to just have a mention that... Again, it's all the news. It's the 5.4. This would have to have been the smoothest patch rollout that I can remember.
Mm.
The patching itself was smooth. Didn't hear a lot of problems about that. mainly the threads that I saw that had any number of replies to them were all about actually launching the game rather than in-game problems. In fact, myself, I had a patched fine, but when I tried to launch it, it kind of looped on itself, and I just had an exe that was hanging around that shouldn't have been there. And yeah, if you're not into that, you could have just reboot your system. But I killed it and was away. No in-game lag, even out on the aisle, which is absolutely amazing given the number of people that are out there.
I understand it was completely mobbed.
Oh, what I'm surprised at, that they didn't put some of the main quest givers up on a pedestal, because it was the old how am I supposed to hand in this quest type problem, because there's just so many people out there.
I was quite surprised to see Cross Realms out there.
Yeah, and Cross Realm, exactly. Oh, I was very, very surprised to see that.
I thought that each server, especially Urban Ring, would have its fair number of people out there natively, as it were.
Yeah, it heavily populated realms. I was very surprised that they're doing Cross Realm. And it is Cross Realm because I don't believe they've implemented any of the connected realms yet.
No. And Urban won't be one of those anyway.
No, hopefully. No way. No way in hell. So apart from a couple of people having lag problems, which is probably more their machine or network connection, you know, the game has stayed up all day. As far as I know, the maintenance wasn't extended.
In fact, for me, it seemed to end early. But normally, for me, because obviously I've been in the EU and being on the Greenwich Mean Time,
yep,
the maintenance normally reaches about 7 o'clock in the evening. It starts about 11. This time around, it started at 8 o'clock in the morning, because it started at midnight.
They started early, way early.
And it was done. I looked at Twitter about 6 o'clock in the evening, and everybody said the server's coming back up. So that, as far as I was concerned, that was an early finish.
Mm.
Never mind an extension. The EU seems to have an extension of a couple of hours. I'm not sure what's happening over there. But...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, probably those dirty French.
I'll tell you what it is. If you go out to the Timeless Isle, one of the nastier creatures out there are these large frogs.
Oh, yeah.
And they mob you as you come through. I reckon the French have gone, oi, hang on a second, you're having a laugh. You're taking the mickey out of us fine French folk. And there's probably been a bit of kerfuffle about that.
Probably. You're probably right. Yeah. I did try to take on a frog and went, ooh, that was a bit hard.
I know. And then he calls his mates and you're like, what?
I think I'll just go back and kill a couple more of these tigers.
Very easy.
But yeah, massive props to Blizzard. That was a very smooth rollout, and it's going very well.
Yeah. I'm hoping that there's not some nasty underbelly which we've not experienced yet, but I don't think so. I think if things are going to go wrong, they would have gone wrong early on.
I mean, how many patches have you seen where they're having to do emergency restarts all through the day, and world server down and massive lag and
Oh, yeah. But, and when you look at the amount of stuff in this patch, it's all
a huge amount.
Did you have any, how are your add-ons this time around?
A few of them have been updated. Some major ones that I use still haven't been, but not encountering many errors at all. About the only error I was getting was in regards to arena teams, because all that's changed. So I guess they changed the API for that. But apart from that, not even getting add-on errors, which is great.
Yeah, I just clicked on load out date. I hadn't gone in and changed any of them. Obviously, there's a few that I can now change because they have updated. But as far as I can see, there's some weird clipping on Arc Inventory, which I guess will resolve when I change that.
Well, the thing with Arc Inventory is Blizzard made a change to, and I haven't seen what it looks like without Arc Inventory, but they made a change so that something new in your bags has this blue glimmer around it.
Yeah.
Arc Inventory doesn't take advantage of that. So every time you open Arc Inventory, everything has a blue glimmer around it. And it goes.
So when you hover over it, it disappears.
But yeah, there was a lot of people complaining about that on the Arc Inventory posts.
And have they updated yet?
And I believe they have updated it. I haven't reloaded my game since I updated that. Well, I'm looking forward to the biohazard suit and a deeper dive into the scurry depths of the forums next week.
Obviously, this is a new use of the words looking forward to, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think we'll be surprised what we find as we go into the lower depths.
Perhaps what I really meant was I'm looking forward to standing back and watching what happens to you as you go into the depths. Maybe that's what I was feeling.
We did toss a coin, and you did say you were going to be the winch man that lowers me down into the forms.
Yeah.
And was sat there at master control while I explore, so we'll see how that goes.
There wasn't any mention of winching you back out again.
No. It seemed to be a one-way trip, but we'll see. Like those people going to Mars for the
Dutch explorers. That's not coming back from that.
It's just one way, mate. There's no way. Yeah, and how many people sign up? Like 20,000 people, 20,000 stupid people. Damn, what a world.
Very good. So a little segment that I kind of added at the last moment. I don't know that we'll do this every week, but I'm sure that lots of people probably help contribute to this, and I'm sure you'll come across it as well. And I want to entitle it, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Ding.
Are you going to do a bumper?
No, I'm not going to do a bumper.
Oh.
A happy thing? No, happy thing? No. A funny thing happened on the way to the ding. Ding!
Ding, ding. Very good. I like that. Yeah.
So I was in an extraordinary stone core run the other day, where we get in there and we do the first pull. The tank is a feral druid. What's the thing that you wouldn't expect a feral druid to ask as the first question that they would ask as you starting to do a dungeon with them?
It's a tough question. There's a multitude of things I wouldn't expect.
How about the question, and I quote, is it bad if a boy tells me his pee-pee itches?
Okay. I would say that would certainly be on the list.
On the list of extraordinary, yeah. And what ensued was a hilarious discussion. Because normally, no one else would chime in. I think I'll just troll and not contribute at all to this discussion. But what ensued was an extraordinarily funny discussion. And it turned out that this tank was somebody's aunt, and she was for the first time babysitting her five-year-old nephew, and he had just got out of the bath, and he said he was all itchy, and she was trying to figure out, and she's like, I don't have any boys, and I haven't babysit boys. I don't know if it's unusual. I don't know what's going on. And all the other people in the group are giving her suggestions, like maybe it's soap, you know, his pajamas and, you know, the material in those and giving her suggestions about what to do. And the whole time she's just like tanking like a mad thing, tearing through this. And I was just in hysterics. Like, this is like the weirdest scenario that I've been in for a while, and thought this is worth recounting. So I'd love it if people have funny little stories like that they'd like to share.
Yeah. Was it resolved? Did his pee-pee stop itching?
I think the uncle threw him in the shower and gave him another wash down.
Yeah.
Not sure how it went.
That is what we call foreskin management 101.
Mm, yeah.
Sort that out.
So a shout out to Massesia on Ice Crown. Quite a good feral tank, actually.
Especially given the circumstances. To be able to carry on tanking while your nephew was in some sort of pain. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of typing that was going on along with the tanking, damaging and healing was quite extraordinary.
Of course, what you don't know is whether the babysittee, the young boy that had his pee-pee problems, was actually doing the tanking.
Could have been. I know this was the board side. Sorry, it wasn't on my line.
Oh, no.
And now, the part of the show that all of you have fast-forwarded to, it's the giveaway section. Yes, we have got ourselves a Hearthstone beta key, which we'd love to give away to a deserved listener, somebody that will indeed love the Hearthstone, but we'd also love it if you're a WoW geek just like us. So how do you win it? It's easy. All you need to do is follow WoW Geekly on Twitter, and then send out a tweet mentioning us and saying, I'm a WoW geek because ...
Yeah, that where that ... is, you have to say why.
Yeah, don't say ... Say some other reason. We're on to you there. Easy as that. When will the draw for this close? I think it will be this time next week when we record episode 2.
Yep, give you a week to do your tweet.
Sounds like it'll work.
And before you know it, lickety split, you'll be staring at the uber Jaina Proudmoore in all her Madonna glory. Sadly, it's now time for us to say goodbye.
Well, not that sadly, because it means I can now start playing WoW again.
I obviously didn't play WoW while we were recording. You did put us in a bit of a bad situation recording on the day the patch was out for the full day. So that's your own fault. But anyway, we're going to wrap the show up and we're going to say goodbye to the dear listener. And we're going to look forward to plenty of feedback on this show, the good, the bad, and indeed the ugly. So I shall say goodbye, goodbye.
And I am Asheo, and I am saying goodbye. You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on at Asheo and at LJeppy. Or if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both. Upload complete.